Well, a good Monday morning to everybody. We're a little bit late getting started today, but here we are. This is the Big Panic Podcast for Monday. Nice to have you with us. Today we're going to talk about a bowl of stew. Do you guys like stew? We're in, Genesis, I believe it's Genesis 25. We'll also be in Hebrews chapter 12, I think it is. As we talk about Esau and his bowl of stew on the Panic Podcast, we'll get started in mere moments from now. Monday morning it is here in Southwest Virginia. The skies are clear, the sun is shining, and it's not cold. Now, I'm not going to say that it's hot, but it's not cold. It's going to be a beautiful day today, I think. I think it's going to be a beautiful week, and I am so looking forward to that. Well, I hope you all had a good weekend. Hope you had good church services, and hope you have a hankering to study the Bible with me this morning. So let's get things started. We've got a lot to do, so we'll just jump right in here. We are going to look at Esau and his bowl of stew. In the book of Hebrews, Esau is used as a warning to prevent us from making the fatal mistake of treating spiritual values and responsibilities and opportunities as something cheap. The writer of Hebrews is drawing the attention of his readers to their great, great privileges, their sacred responsibilities, and at the same time points out the danger to which they can expose themselves by pointing out the fatal error into which Esau fell. Take a look at Hebrews 12, 16, and 17. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews writes, "See that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest child. Afterward," you know, he wanted to inherit this blessing, but he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. Esau sold his birthright for one bowl of stew. He sold out his future for a bowl of stew in the present. You know, he'd been out in the woods and fields on a hunting expedition. He came home starving, famished with hunger. Jacob, his brother, was cooking a mess of red lentils. Let's pick up the story at Genesis 25, verse 30. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. And Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Now, Jacob's behavior of acting in an unbrotherly manner and driving a really hard bargain in a time of great need can't be condoned. It was a cruel thing that Jacob did. But on the other hand, the foolishness of Esau, I think, is more despicable. It indicates a weakness in his character and a base shallowness in his scale of values. It provides us with an index to the type of man that he was and that he would become. Esau was the firstborn of Isaac, You got to understand and appreciate the position and the privileges of the firstborn to know what Esau actually sold and what Jacob was so eager to possess. So let's talk about the rights of the firstborn for a couple of minutes. To the firstborn in ancient Israel, there belonged unique privileges and responsibilities. They were dedicated and considered as belonging to God, Exodus 22:29. They occupied a position of honor next to their parents, Genesis 49:3. The firstborn received a double portion of the estate of the father, Deuteronomy 21:17. He also succeeded as the authoritative figure in the family or kingdom, 2 Chronicles 21:3. Before the priesthood of Aaron was established, the firstborn was honored with the office of the priesthood and the administration of the worship of God. The right of the firstborn thus carried with it both the secular and sacred values. It was the position of prestige as far as business affairs were concerned. Perhaps the greatest significance as far as we're concerned was in the religious implications that this office possessed. In speaking of the church as the firstborn whose names are written in heaven, the writer of the book of Hebrews speaks of the present-day Christians as occupying a position similar to that which Esau sold for a bowl of stew in a moment of intense hunger. It's our privilege to be in the position of the firstborn of God in the world today. It is our high and holy privilege to render priestly services in the name of and on behalf of our Lord. We're to be the means by which the grace and mercy and love of God are to be communicated to those who don't know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior from sin and as the giver of eternal life. Through each of us, the unbelievers about us are to come to a knowledge of the one true God as he has revealed himself through Christ who died and rose again from the dead. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a set-apart people, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of his life and love, 1 Peter 2:9. The sacred position of privilege carries with it a great, great responsibility. God does not bestow upon us the position and privileges of the firstborn merely for our selfish indulgence, but God blesses us that we might in turn be a blessing. Esau speaks with tears to warn us against the peril of despising our birthright not taking it seriously enough to hold on to and selling it for a mere bowl of stew. Esau despised his birthright. He didn't think it was important. In a moment of temporary emergency, let's say, Esau bartered off his birthright for a bowl of stew to satisfy the hunger of his stomach. Seemingly, he didn't properly appreciate the truly sacred privileges that went along with the birthright, and therefore he lightly and thoughtlessly transferred it to Jacob for the satisfaction of a momentary need. In selling his birthright, Esau revealed himself as a very careless and shallow person, living from hand to mouth, giving little or no thought to the higher values of the soul. He revealed himself to be a profane person. He purchased the present satisfaction of an appetite at the price of something that would be of great, great value in the future. And later on, as we read, he regretted that action, but it was too late to change. He couldn't reverse himself. This is always the case. We can never change a choice. We can only deal with the consequences of those choices. So let me ask you this. Are you guilty Are you guilty of Esau's sin? It's most likely true that all of us have followed in the footsteps of Esau more than we realized or would be willing to admit. Sin is so deceptive, isn't it? The evil one is so shrewd and clever. And human nature is so weak and so easily influenced. The pressures of our competitive and materialistic society press in upon us constantly. The temptation is always there to satisfy temporary needs or needs that don't really exist, but that the media or whatever, whomever, is trying to convince us exists in our lives. Esau himself lived for the things visible and secured them by forfeiting spiritual and eternal values. It's so easy to be captivated by the trinkets and the gadgets that seem so necessary in our modern day life. There are those who completely neglect worship and excuse their sleeping in late on the Lord's Day by saying they'd just have to rest. They worked so hard during the weekend, and they needed the rest. They needed that extra hour of sleep on Sunday. Some have prospered to the extent that they've purchased a cabin or a camp or a lake house, which is located out in the country or by a lake, and they're there all weekend long. Don't go to church, but they're there all weekend long, foolishly thinking that quote-unquote family time is something that the Lord would understand. Well, the Lord doesn't understand that. What the Lord understands is that if you put your family before Him, then your family has become an idol and you're sinning. Esau lived for sensual satisfaction rather than for spiritual achievement or service. His concern for the satisfaction of his hunger pains in his stomach took priority over all other considerations. This meant that his stomach was more important than his mind or his soul or the possible achievements of his hand in life. To consider yourself as a stomach to feed and a back to clothe is to really rob yourself of your highest dignity as one who is made to walk and talk with God, in fact, made in the Lord's image. And your lower self rises to the level that is far, far higher than was ever meant. Without realizing what's happening, I think we can find ourselves treating ourselves in this manner before we even know it. Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yes, it's important to eat. Yes, it's important to clothe yourself. Yes, it's important to have a house to live in. All of those things are important. But sad is the fate of the man who comes to think of the chief end of living in terms of having all of those things, because he's no better than Esau. Esau lived only for himself, without being considerate of his family. He was willing to give up the position of opportunity for rendering a needed service for a bowl of stew, which was already warm, instead of taking a few minutes to prepare his own stew. He didn't know the meaning of self-control or discipline. He didn't have any built-in controls to provide guidance in a time of emergency. All he felt was hunger, and the only thing that was on his mind was satisfying that need to eat. Is there anything wrong with satisfying your hunger pains? Of course not. Does God want you to go hungry and miss meals? Of course he doesn't. But to forfeit important spiritual things for the sake of eating or for the sake of your comfort, that's just wrong. That's what Esau did. I think there are many folks today who sell their future for the fleeting pleasures of the moment. Youth who do not respond to study opportunities or automatically determining their destiny for the sake of some foolish pleasure of the present. A lot of young people, perhaps due to lack of parental training and example, sell their hopes for future happiness and in marriage by insisting upon participating in, shall we say, intimacies, which would best be reserved only for the married. The man from the past, though he's dead, yet speaks to the present concerning the utter madness of flinging away greater future good for the temporary pleasures that are offered in the present. He who lives only for the present moment is acting as if he is on the same level with the savage or the animal. Esau majored on his stomach, but forgot about his soul. He lived for a time completely ignoring eternity. He measured success in terms of satisfaction of present appetites without regard to what was the highest and best for his future. Esau made his fatal decision in a time of weakness and exhaustion. You know, temptation always comes to us at a time when we are most likely to yield. Did you ever notice that? When you're at your lowest ebb, that's when your temptation to sin is the greatest. Our Lord was tempted when he had finished his fast and was hungry. Now, Jesus didn't sell his birthright, and you and I don't have to. We were made for God, and our highest possible happiness is to be found in reflecting his glory and his grace. I think we should give ourselves to him completely and constantly, and don't ever trade what he has given us for the junk that lies all around us. And that's it. That is it. It is about 18 minutes past the hour. And as I said at the top of the program, we were way late in getting going today, and I've just got a mess of things to do. So we're gonna call this the end of the Bible study for now. We're going to pick things up on Wednesday. I think Wednesday we're going to take a look at let me have a look, because I was just going through my notes. We've got just a couple more studies in Genesis, and then we're going to be moving on to something else. Yeah, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 37 on Wednesday. We're going to look at the dreamer, your friend and mine, Joseph. Joseph is such an interesting character in the Old Testament, and a considerable number of chapters are given over to looking at his life. So make plans to be here Wednesday morning for the next Panic Podcast. Until then, look, you guys have a great day today. Go on out, make it a great day. Be a blessing to somebody today. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to the Panic Podcast today. We'll see you real soon.